Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
God, we thank you for an opportunity to come this morning to open up your word, to open up Acts, and continue to learn from it. God, we pray through your through the power of your spirit that you would strengthen our hearts, draw us closer to you, give us wisdom in what you may be speaking to us through this scripture. We also lift up our sister Jewel to you this morning and pray for your healing. God, we pray that you would release the pressure on those nerves, and God, that you would let the pain be done. God, we pray that you would continue to teach us and guide us this morning. In your name, amen. So, the way that we're gonna try to implement this little bit of technology in the coming days, coming weeks. Tried to this morning, but I felt like it was being rushed and it wasn't quite there. But one thing I want to do at the beginning to try to continue to foster some interaction, no pressure at all. Honestly, I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm being serious, but I want to provide those opportunities. So as we read this scripture, and we'll do this each week, before I even say another word, are there any comments, questions about the scripture that you have? Any comments, anything that you hope we're going to hit, anything like that you saw in there this morning as we were reading? And that includes online, chat that in if there is. Is there anything back there? Okay, so we're not going to belabor it. We are going to jump into it. And I'm going to tell you a couple things that I have. Because we just got, the reason I started in Acts 15 and not just read 16 is because I wanted to remind us where we were coming out of, right? So there was this whole argument in Antioch about the Jews being circumcised. And Paul is like, nah, this ain't happening. And so they dusted up a little bit, and they said, okay, well, let's just go to the elders and see what the elders say. And the elders say, no, we don't. Here's the four things that we're going to ask. And even those aren't mandatory. We're just, I mean, the wording of the letters, you would do good if you didn't do these things. Right? And then what does Paul do with Timothy when he meets him in Acts 16? Nobody had a question about that? He circumcised him. All right, so I'm going to throw that out as one. I'm going to say it for you guys because that is, it's not conflicting. We're going to deal with it this morning, but that does seem confusing, right? Does anybody disagree that that's confusing? All right. The other thing that we see is that Paul and Silas, as they meet Timothy, they're kind of on this journey, right? And so, do you remember what Paul said before they had the sharp disagreement about John Mark? What he said to Barnabas was, hey, let's go back to all the places that we've helped share the gospel, to all the churches that we've helped start up until this point, and see how they're doing. And then when Paul and Barnabas kind of had their separation, had their disagreement, it says that Barnabas took John Mark and they went to Cyprus, which is where Barnabas was from. And Paul and Silas kind of take off, and they're going. But it tells us something very important at the beginning of chapter 16. What did I tell you guys to remember that was going to be important? You remember? What? Well, yeah, there was that piece about Timothy. You're right. There was one other thing that they were, what's that? Yeah. Yeah, they said they were forbidden by the Spirit of God to speak the word in Asia. So right before that part about them meeting Timothy, thank you, Hunter, thank you, Angie, that it was that part about being forbidden to speak in Asia, which is interesting. Because if we look at the map, and if I had thought ahead, I would have put it up here. But if you trust me on this, if you look at a map, the route that they are now having to go because they're forbidden to speak in Asia is not convenient to where they're trying to get to. Because they're trying to get to these places where they have taught and they have preached, but they're kind of forbidden. And Paul has this bend to really want to go to some place new, right? He wants to, like, that's his thing. He's an apostle. Part of the call of an apostle is someone who's sent, kind of pushing this thing forward. You know, the prophets were people who foretold the word of God, who kind of heard the word of God and spoke it, whether it was convenient for the people who were hearing it or not. Then you had the teachers, and they were kind of breaking things down and helping explain. And you had the shepherds who were the kind of caring people and the guiding people. And then you also had the evangelists. And the evangelists, Paul had like kind of both those things. He had that apostleship thing where he was kind of being propelled and being sent, but he also had that evangelist thing where, I mean, people were just kind of drawn to what he said and the words he said. And that was through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we actually see in one of the letters later where Paul said, I don't speak as intelligently as I could have. I could speak with powerful words. I've been trained. I know how to do that. I don't want to do that because I don't want to take the power away from the cross. Paul trusted that God was so much bigger, right? And which is interesting. That's not our text for this morning, but it is interesting when we see people who leave churches and say, well, I'm going to go here because this is a good preacher. I'm going to go here because this person's inspiring. Paul said, I don't want to talk like that, because I don't want to take the power away from the cross. Paul is basically saying, I don't want people to come to me. I want people to come to Jesus. And so Paul has this like push because he wants new people to hear about the gospel. But the route that they're having to take, they're just kind of being forced back up into places they've been. And so they're really kind of going out of their way, because they're like, if you look at Turkey, which is kind of where they're at, it's like this. They're over here. They're trying to get over here, but they go up and over, a couple hundred miles out of their way. And how did we travel back then? Foot. Anybody ever walked a couple hundred miles? Okay, I have. Through the mountains of India, so hopefully their terrain was a little better. Took us about 2.5 weeks. So you can imagine these guys walking a couple weeks. They got a lot of time on their hands, and they're like, what in the world are we doing? Now, along the way, they meet this guy. And so we have this issue to deal with first. Because they meet, along the way, they meet our friend Timothy. And they meet him in Lystra. And he knows, like, hey, this is a believing guy. Now what is true about Timothy? Timothy is a believer that Jesus was the Messiah. B, he was Jewish. He was very Jewish. In fact, in Judaism, when the legal scholars looked back, like in that time, I'm talking about the peers of Paul, like at that time frame, when they looked, they followed the mother's bloodline. Because maternity can't be second-guessed. Paternity can be. And so that was why they would. So the mother was Jewish. And so he was Jewish. That was his deal. I mean, even. But he was a believer in Jesus because Paul wanted to get involved with him. We know Paul wouldn't have gotten involved. I mean, he would have from a relational standpoint of wanting him to come to know Jesus, but not in a, hey, I want you to come do ministry with me. So we know that Timothy, through some of this, but through some of the other writings that we read in the New Testament, Timothy was a believer, but Timothy was also Jewish, which was important. However, his dad was a Greek. And as such, his dad never had him circumcised. And so Paul takes him to get circumcised. Just one page after we hear this whole dust up about forcing people to be circumcised. And what do we do with this? Well, what I hope that you hear and what I hope you can kind of separate and understand is, for Paul, this wasn't I'm circumcising Timothy because that's what he's going to need to be a believer. It was, what was Paul's setup when he got to town? When Paul got to a new town, what did he do? Went to the synagogue. He went to his people first. In fact, almost to a place. Every time we see Paul go to a new place in Acts, even up to Rome, which was the last stop at the end of Acts, the first thing Paul does is engage the Jewish community. and draws from that crowd. And he wants them to understand that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised to him. He wants them to be believers in him. So he needs to be able to move in and out of the Jewish community freely. Who would not have been allowed to move in and out of the Jewish community freely? Someone who wasn't circumcised. So in this instance, it had nothing to do with Timothy being accepted by God. It was so that Timothy could come along and help Paul in ministry. Remember, John Mark was that guy that Barnabas was wanting to be it, and Paul said, I can't trust him. He took off on us one time. I don't know that I can trust him. But he's come to this kind of point where he has this trust in Timothy. So we don't get timelines here. This reads like it happened in like 5 minutes. We don't get timelines. There was obviously some time spent here, but also the words that other people spoke about Timothy were very impressive, and Paul wanted to take him, but he knew that the ministry he did, he went in and out of Jewish circles as soon as he needed his partner to be there. So while it seems contradictory, and I would completely acknowledge, we can't get over that, right? Someone picks up this Bible and doesn't know, doesn't understand, and is looking to be skeptical, you could look at that and say, see, that's contradicting. It's not. Because it has nothing to do with Timothy's salvation or being accepted into the kingdom of God. It is just he needs to be able to do the ministry in the way in which God has called him, which was go to the Jews first. And then oftentimes, a number of the Jews, what happened a lot of times with Paul is a number of Jews would gather around and would take this and say, yes, this is good, this is, and then the others would say, no, it's not. And then we get oftentimes, as we read through this, through Acts and Paul engaging, he just kind of dusts off his feet and says, okay, fine, from here on, I've gone to you first. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles. All the way up, again, till Rome. That was his last stop. He did the exact same thing, and he told them the exact same thing. And so that is where we get that little bit of a... trust me, that's... I'm sure you guys felt it, whether you spoke it out or not. Like, that seems weird. But yet, there was reasons for it. And it's important that when we hit those moments. So when people hit those moments, sometimes folks do one of two things. They'll say, well, it's in the Bible, so it has to be good, and just move on. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. My nature doesn't allow me to do that. Like, I'm a curious person. I'm like, nope, I need a little more than that. Or some people just say, no, well, that just proves that this isn't right. But there's another way to engage it. Just kind of lean in and say, okay, this seems like maybe it's contradicting. How is it not? Like, what is the deal? And dig in a little bit. Do some research. You don't have to do that much research actually to find that out. So that's what's happening. Paul has gotten this guy, Timothy, who is Jewish himself, but he wouldn't be accepted by the Jewish communities. And Paul said, hey, that's where we're going first. So we're going to have to do this if you want to go along with us. And so they did. And so now they continue on their journey and they're walking. And they're going a couple hundred miles out of their way, wondering what in the world God is calling them to. What was God calling them to? Well, they didn't know, so they kept making these stops. And the Holy Spirit kept saying, nope, nope, nope. And then they finally come around the horn and they get to Troas. And they camp there for a bit. And it says that Paul had a dream that night. And in the dream, what does he see? He sees a man in Macedonia. Now, this is over in Greece. As far as I know, the gospel hadn't spread that far yet. Right? How much ministry did Paul do once he made that jump? A lot, right? Corinthians, over there. Philippi, over there, right? Ephesus, like a lot of the ministry that we get the writings from the New Testament from happen once Paul makes this jump. Now, Antioch, we see, was always on Paul's heart. That was the first place that he really did this ministry. And so that was always important to him. But man, when he made that jump across, when the Holy Spirit called him across over into from like the Middle East and Turkey, and he made that jump over into Europe, it was a big deal. He made that jump over into Greece and Italy, and he kind of finally ends up there. That was a big, big deal. And it says that there's a man, he sees a vision of a man in Macedonia asking, well, listen, let me just read it because I don't want to jack it up here. Cross over to Macedonia and help us. So, and they make that jump. Cross over to Macedonia and help us. I like to, like when I read this, when I read Acts, the first part of Acts 16, to me it seems like, I've told you guys this before, but it seems like, have you ever had a puppy and you're trying to train them on a leash? You put that leash on them for the first time. Sometimes it's not even a puppy. Some people's dogs continue to do this to this day. But they're just kind of going wherever, you know, and it's like on the job of the person holding that leash to hold them back. And to me, that's how Paul reminded me. He's like that dog. He's just wanting to go. And the Holy Spirit's holding him back, And finally, he sees this vision. And they're being obedient to that. And he sees this vision. And it says, come on over. We need help. Paul had this kind of thing. And it was important to remember that Paul was just this guy who was being propelled and being led by the Holy Spirit. And then the last thing, and I'll give you guys some chance to put into it if you like, and then we'll sing a song, we'll come back for some application. But the last thing that I wanted to point out that may be confusing in this, so if I had been one of those people asking questions at the beginning, this would have been one of them, right? But this is the first time in Acts. If you don't believe me, well, take five chapters a day. Hopefully you're reading the scriptures with me. But if you're not, take Acts 1 through 5, and then 6 through 10, and then 11 through 15, and see if it says this anywhere else. For the first time, as we see Paul's journeys, we see this word. After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to cross over. For the first time, we see this we language. And a lot of scholars kind of argue what that means. And people get really creative. They're like real creative. Like some scholars say, oh, well, Luke finally got the diary of somebody who was with Paul. But how many of you know that sometimes the easiest answer is always the right answer? I mean, sometimes it's not, right? But a lot of times the easiest answer is the right answer. What I think is that now Paul and Luke finally hooked up. And now Luke's, because we do see that later in some of Paul's writings, especially to these groups, we hear that Luke's with him. So it's just kind of a neat thing that Luke, this writer of the gospel, this writer of Acts, who's kind of saying this, now he's telling the part of the story that he's involved with, which is kind of a neat perspective at this point. So he says, we made efforts to cross over. Paul was this dog on a leash, just I'm willing to go wherever. And he said, hey, come over here. And said, okay, immediately we made efforts to go over. Now, a lot of us, if God called us to Greece right now, immediately we would make efforts to go to Greece and hang out. Hopefully be one of the places we see the pretty pictures of and all that. But Paul was this guy who was just, itching to go wherever God take him. And the beautiful thing was now God is, I can imagine the excitement of now they're being called into a place where they know the gospel, where they don't believe the gospel has yet made it. And they get a chance to kind of do that work. And so that is what these first 10 verses kind of reveal to us. Now, how do we apply it? We're going to get to that. But before we do get to there, we're going to sing another song. But before we do that, I want to give you guys an opportunity to speak into that if you like. Is there anything else that you saw that maybe I did not see in the midst of that, or that stood out to you that was different than the way it stood out to me?
So I'll speak on behalf of the Thursday night group, I
guess. Oh, thanks. So for those of you online who couldn't hear what Colin was saying, he said one of the things that stood out to the Wednesday night or the Thursday night guys' Bible study group was that all the different ways that the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and that group during this, and that some of them were positive reinforcement about, hey, come on over to Macedonia. Some of it was negative reinforcement. Some of it was just obstacles in their way that prevented them from doing it. And so all the different ways that the Holy Spirit was speaking. And, yeah, that's a good point, because we don't get the answer as to how they were told not to preach in Asia, whether it was just divine prophecy that just came to them, or whether it was just continual roadblocks in the way, along the way. We do know that some of that happened. And so, yeah, that's a great point. So the Lord just shared that one of the things that she thought of was the walk by faith, not sight. She plans a trip. She likes to know where she's going, when she's going, and how she's going to get there. And here Paul didn't have that trajectory. He's just walking and wandering. We do get the sense that they were on mission the whole time, but they didn't quite know where that was going to land them. And so here they are just kind of going and just kind of following God by faith, trusting that. And that's true. Yeah, and we will get to some of that in the application for sure. Anybody else? Any chat back there, Jude? There is? One time there is. The first time there is, I don't have it pulled up. Can you read it for me? Oh, I got it. So, okay, that's a good question. Somebody asked, would Timothy's lack of a circumcision indicate his age? And no. The answer to that would be no. Because for the Jewish person who was following the law, when would he have been circumcised? 8 days, yeah. Pretty close, yeah. 8 days. And so, it really was just because his dad was Greek. That's a good question. But it really was just because his dad was Greek and never took him to do that. And sometimes in the Greek community, that was because one of the things they did was one of the things that was very popular was like the bathhouses. And they would go as like the men's go to the YMCA, and they go and they take the sauna and do all that. Like, that was pretty popular. And to look like all the other guys who were there would be important, and not to stand out in any kind of way. Quite truthfully, in the Greek community, that was a big deal. All right, anything else?
Well, I think it is consistent with the idea that, God predetermines good works for us to do, as it says in somewhere in the Bible, that the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go here because he calls him here. It's not that God doesn't want those people in Asia to receive the gospel, but that's a predetermined work for someone else. And so it's like, it kind of
No, that's good. So James was saying, he was reminded of the scripture that talks about God appoints good works for us to do. That it's kind of God who puts that in their path, and that for Paul. And so this is like the last coming. All these comments are great. A lot of them have to do with application. So we're just going to jump there. We'll just do the two songs in the middle. So we'll just go ahead and jump there, so we don't draw this thing out longer than it needs to be. But yeah, that God does have good works prepared for us in advance for us to do, as the scripture says. And that for Paul, it was to go to Europe, not back through Asia where he was planning. And so that those roadblocks could have been there for a reason. While ministering in Asia sounds like a good thing, and that's fine, but James is saying that maybe that was the calling for someone else to do, that Paul's calling was to go up to the top and go around the outside of Turkey and then cross over into Europe. And sometimes we will. We will let the good thing keep us from the better thing, right? Like we will sometimes see, oh, this is a good thing without listening to God and do that instead of maybe what God has a great thing for us. And so it is important to, even when there's a good opportunity presented, to make sure, God, this is you, right? Like there's not something better you have. This is you. Because Paul could have done great ministry traveling right through Turkey. But God had something different. And it took the gospel to Europe, which is where my family descended from. So I'm thankful for that. All right? So
it's actually kind of fun. The Bible actually points that out in this case, because if you read 1 Peter addresses the specific places that Paul was not permitted to go. So Peter was the person who got to.
Very cool. I hadn't drawn that conclusion. That's great. So for those who didn't hear that online, what Colin was saying was one of the cool things was that the Bible actually proves out what James was saying, because 1 Peter talks about all the places in Asia that Paul was not permitted to go, that Peter did ministry in those places. So that's fantastic. Thank you. All that. Actually, is there any others? Jude, is there anything else back there? Let me check the other ones real quick. So all those have to do with the application that I had as well. And that was just the call of the believer, the call of the disciple to follow God no matter where he's calling them. And sometimes it is the obvious route. And sometimes it's not. But that trust that God is going to do something good, or that God is going to do something great through that redirection, is beautiful, because Scripture promises us that all things work together for the good of those who believe him. Not those who understand him, not those who know the blueprint coming forward, but those who believe in him, who trust him. And that's what Paul did. They just trusted and they went along. And what it did was it took them around to a place where they get to where they can just cross right up. Because if you look at a map of Troas, it's just... It looks like it's that big, and so, but I'm sure it's a couple hundred miles or so, but just right across the channel, and they're in Europe. And then it's on, right? But that wouldn't have happened had they got stuck in the Middle East and not been able to pull out of that. And God had a different path. He had Peter doing that in Turkey and in Israel and all those places. And then Paul was up into Europe. And then there was other believers whose stories we don't even get who kind of continue to spread that, so... Before we pray, are there any other comments at all, online or in this room? Yes. You want to pray? Absolutely, man. Come up. Pray right here. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for this... day. We thank you for the way the day has turned out. Please help anyone in here who is sick, ill, or just needs attention. Please, we pray. We pray for my mom. We pray for everybody in here who is sick or ill or don't know if they're sick. Please help them in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaicbeasley.org.